Oeps. Spitter. Have you brought your Bibles with you today? I had a thought in the week. You know, we don't take our Bibles to church anymore. Why don't we take our Bibles? Because we've got... It's funny, when we sat down there, people say, get out your Bible. And we all get our mobile phones out, don't we? But we need to start bringing our Bibles to church. You've got yours. It doesn't matter how big it is. Get your Bible. I've been blessed. Just there's a site on Instagram called Ballers316. And it's Ballers316. And it's footballers. And they show regularly footballers going into the match with their Bibles under their arm. Alison Becker from Liverpool, you see him all the time. The guy called Jesus or Jesus from Manchester City, going in with a Bible under his arm. Yeah, I haven't seen any Everton players, but you know what I mean. But there we go. But you go in with a Bible. Sorry, Elsa, there may be. I don't know. But anyway, that's a joke. That's a joke. But anyway, there's still hope. There's still hope. Anyway, if you've got a Bible, right, you know what Smith Wigglesworth did? Smith Wigglesworth, he put his Bible down and he said, I'm standing on God's word. Stand on God's word. Yeah. If you've got a Bible, stand upon God's word.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the key. It's the key.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not my word.
That's right.
Not somebody else's word. Right. The word of God. That's what you've got to build your life on. Yes. That's what you've got to stand on.
Yeah.
Because the enemy is that roaring lion who just comes in and... I bet the enemy has spoken to some people here when we're singing that song and says, no, it doesn't apply to you. It's not in your circumstance. It's not for you. It's for somebody else. It's okay for them. But how would it happen for you? No. It's not the truth. It's the lie of the enemy.
Yeah.
We need to stand upon God's word. God's word never fails. God's word is all powerful. It's the only thing we can rely on. We can't rely on man's word because it keeps changing all the time. We see it with Keir Starmer. He keeps changing his mind every other week. Yeah. And so does Trump. Yeah. God's word is eternal. And people are still trying to change God's word today. Yeah. People want to fuzz it. Yeah. And adjust it to suit the culture, to suit what's going on in the world. And it's not very pleasant for us as Christians today when we say, I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't accept that. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. In a nice way, but in a positive way. Because if it doesn't say it in here, then I don't agree with it. I'm sorry. It may go against the culture of society. It may go against what the leaders say. It may go against what our laws say. And our laws today have been passed in this country, which are, and I dropped it then. And that's what we do, don't we? We drop it when things get tough. Yeah. I just cause it in time. But you know what I mean? Just because it's written in our parliament doesn't make it right. Stand upon God's word. So I'm going to encourage you to bring God's word with you. Bring it with you. Don't just bring your mobile phone. Bring God's word, the Bible. We used to play a game in Sunday school, and it was sword in sheath. This is the sword of God's word. Sword in sheath, swords drawn, and then someone would quote a scripture, right? A dead easy one, John 3:16. Go, and everyone just found it. The first one to get it stood up and read it. When somebody said swords in sheath, swords drawn, Habakkuk 2:11. What? No one had a clue where it was. It took a long time. But we learned the books of the Bible. We learned them, and we got to know them so we could find it. I've gone off on a tangent here. I wasn't expecting to say any of that. But you know what I mean? God's word is so important. If you've got God's word with you today, turn to Acts chapter 2. We're speaking about community. Now, I spoke on community in 2022. Not sure if it's still on the website, but in 2022. But I was speaking about community on the outside, how we approach community on the outside. How we live for community on the outside. Today, we're looking at community here, community in the church. As you know, over the last few weeks since we started in January, we've been looking at the church, that's us, what it means for us to be church. And we're going to be looking at it over the next weeks as well. So we've looked at various aspects. If you haven't listened to the sermons, let me encourage you to do so. because we're looking at the various aspects. Mark was speaking last week about being connected. Sue's been speaking about the bride. I'm speaking today about community. So let's read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I've actually got it printed out here, so that's why I'm not looking at it in my Bible. But it's the same. Acts chapter 2, 42. We know this very well. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by all the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's a picture of the early church that we all know. And it's a picture of us as well. And then going to Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 31. After they prayed, this is after Peter had come back to them and they prayed together. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. We need a bit more shaking, don't we? A whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah, I want it, don't you? Woo, bring it on, Lord, yeah. All the believers were in heart, one heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. That's what community is, guys. That's community. That's the church. It's the church together. This is us together, sharing and caring for each other. Signs and wonders. Yeah, we've heard Sue's testimony today. Somebody's got the mobile phone on. Signs and wonders. We've heard those today. We want more signs and wonders, don't we? We want more breakthrough. We want more healings. I've seen it. I've told you this so many times before, but I tell you again because it stirs me every time. At the Philharmonic Hall, when I was about 7, 8, or 9, I can't remember, only a young guy, seeing the Philharmonic Hall packed and seeing the front of the stage of the Philharmonic Hall with every wheelchair, bed, walking stick you could ever think of, people running up and down the aisles, people running down from the balcony. It was unbelievable. I witnessed it, and I believe God wants to do it again. God is a God of miracles. He's a God of signs and wonders. And we know, we see it happening in other parts of the country and in other parts of the world. I want to see it more and more here, don't you? I believe God is a faithful God. He's a prayer-answering God. He's a signs and wonders God. Bless you, Lord. He is, and he wants to do it. Lives impacted. That's what happened. People added to the church daily. I read on the BBC this morning, they're trying to diss down a little bit this Gen Z. They're trying to say, oh, the survey was a little bit dodgy. We don't really think it was, you know, typical BBC. It wasn't quite what it was supposed to be. Guys, people are coming back to the Lord. Yeah. We know people are coming back to the Lord. Yeah. We just want people to come back to the Lord here in Ormskirk, in our district, don't we? We want to see more and more and more. Reading about that church in India, and we're praying for India. 300,000 people meet it in a church in Hyderabad, is it? In India, 300,000. We haven't got it. We can't cope with the numbers. We know there's a lot of persecution happening as well in India and in various parts. It's not all that. But we see God doing amazing things. Lots and lots of people coming to the Lord. It's happening. But the devil wants to limit us. Yeah? The devil wants to limit us. Yeah? He says, think small. Yeah? Think small. Yo, you're only weak. You're only ineffective. What are you doing? And he pulls us down. You'll never do that. You'll never achieve it. It won't happen. It's a lie of the enemy. You'll never see those signs and wonders happening. It's all right for you, Dave. It's not all right. I'm not happy about it. I want to see it again. I want to say, God, come on, show your power again. Yeah. Demonstrate your kingdom. In Jesus' name, do it again. I want to see it happen. Today, we are the church. We are the church. And I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. OCF, we are the church. There's nobody else. I'm not saying that at all. But we are part of the church, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the one that holds it all together. And as OCF, we are a community of believers, a community of God's believers. We belong together. God has brought us together from all sorts of different backgrounds, from all sorts of different countries, from all sorts of different places. If he's brought you here and you're part of OCF, you're part of that community, and we are members of one body, the church. Right? The church is one body. There's a new group that's just starting, I think it's starting today in Ormskirk. It's come to Ormskirk. I've forgotten what it's called. It's called Green Leaves. Haven't really heard about it before. And it's starting in the Civic Hall. Just another offshoot, yeah? I don't know anything about these guys. But if they believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then they're part of the church. We are all part of those church, the church. Churches together in Ormskirk. All sorts of different styles of worship. All sorts of different ways of doing things. But if we can unite in the cross, yeah? That is the church. That is the church united. And that's what God wants. United church with one goal. The advancement of God's kingdom. Not the advancement of OCF. I want OCF to succeed. Of course I do. But it's not out of a pride situation that we can look down and say, oh, look at us. No. It's because God's kingdom can advance. So that unsaved members of our families, unsaved members of our community can come in. Can come in and be part of us. It's the advancement of God's kingdom, not the advancement of my kingdom. It's your kingdom come. Your will be done. So often it's my will, yeah? My will. I'll do it my way. You know the song? I did it my way. And when I do it my way, what happens? It's a mess. Isn't it? I put my size 10s in and mess it up. No good. And you know, we've got no time for lone rangers. Yeah, you know what a lone ranger is? Basically, you just do your own thing and I'll do my thing and blow everybody else. You can't live that way. People do live that way, but you can't live that way in the church. We've got to be together. Yeah. Together. Every single one of us having a vital part to play. Some of you might be thinking, well, I haven't got, what do I do? What have I got to give? You've got everything to give. We are a body of believers. And we've talked about this body before. I think it was Tom, maybe, who did the illustration where he said they used to cut off the little toes in the war. And so the men couldn't, what was it, stand up properly or couldn't balance. I can't remember what it was. One or the other. It was so vital. The little toe was vital. They cut off the thumb so that they couldn't fire and hold on to the swords or the guns. They couldn't do it. You might be a little toe. But it's vital. You're vital. Yeah. You're vital. And don't think I'm, what am I, the heart or the head? Yeah? I might be just a little toe. I don't know. But I'm happy to be part of the body. That's all that matters. Just want to be part of you guys. Part of the body of Christ. Yeah? All bound together. That verse, Ecclesiastes 4:12, has been quoted quite a lot of times, hasn't it? That a three-cornered strand cannot be broken. And lovely picture we had from Sue of talking about the wedding. Listen to it if you want to listen to it again and see the picture of it. Just really encouraging of what we are joined together in Christ. Nothing can break that. And we're here for each other in OCF, a body of believers. We're family. There's something strong about family, isn't there? And families break. We heard that from Sue. We know it in our own situations. Sometimes families don't always get on. It's difficult, isn't it? Isn't it tragic when someone, you know, nobody speaks to me or they haven't spoken to me. I spoke to a guy in Ormskirk. We were chatting with him. We know him quite well. And his brother lived in Thailand and his brother's died. His other brother lives in the Middle East. He hasn't spoken to him for 20 years. How can you have that when your blood brothers and you haven't spoken to him? It's tragic, isn't it? A tragedy. But that's what the enemy does. He's divisive. He wants to break up. And he wants to do it in our families as well. He wants to bring conflict. He wants to bring break up. If you're in that situation, try and bring it together. Try and bring that unity back again. And it's hard. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But we're family. Don't struggle alone. This is a key thing. Don't struggle alone. Reach out. If you're in need, reach out. If you need support, reach out. We're here to help each other. You know, being part of the church, being committed into a community is not casual. It's not just casual. And you know, we've got a lot of casual people about. And we've got a lot of casual people about in the church, and it's not casual. I keep quoting my favorite song, I don't want to be a casual Christian. There's too many casual Christians. It's no good, guys. We need commitment. And we don't like that. Oh, no, hang on, not in this day and age. Everything's free. Just do what you want. You know, that isn't the church, guys. We don't like rules and regulations, but there's standards that we need to keep and commitment. And commitment's important. It's not just take it or leave it. Or when it suits me, you know, when it fits into my agenda. No, no, no. If you're on God's agenda, it's different. God might be telling you to do something different. He might be telling you to go somewhere different. I don't know. If he does, God bless you. Let us know if you're doing that. Because sometimes you just maybe come and go and nobody knows. And as leadership, we don't know. That's why we're together. That's why we're a family. We work together. We all have a part to play. I've already said that. So get involved. Don't hide. Do you know, I know somebody who left this church and said they wanted to go somewhere else, and they went to one of these mega churches not far from here. Why? Because you can sit on the back row and you can just hide. The service goes, you go, nobody speaks to you, or they might say hello. That isn't church, guys. Nothing wrong with a mega church if they're bringing people to Christ, and it's great, but we need more than that. We need close commitment, close harmony. Working together, sharing together, as those Acts, that early Acts church said, making a difference where we are. Ephesians 2:19, this is in the Message. It says this, you belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home and he's using us all, irrespective of how you got here. In what he's building, that just said that wrong, didn't I? Irrespective of how you got here, in what he's building, that all goes together. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Unity is so vital. There's so many bricks missing, unfortunately. And it's a tragedy when a brick misses and the wall's not in its right place. Every brick's important, every stone coming together. Unity is so important. It's on my heart for us. It's on my heart for churches together. Certainly in Ormskirk. And we've got a tragedy in Ormskirk where we've got at least two churches that won't even speak to us. Tragic. Isn't it absolutely tragic? Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. That's God's heart. Doesn't say that they'll all agree on everything. It's just that they'll come together as one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's one of the problems we've got because the church is so disjointed and fragmented. Is it any wonder people don't come? That's why we need to be together, to show unity. I have given them the glory that you gave me. You've got the glory of God upon you. Yeah. And so have I. Yeah. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Absolutely unbelievable. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, community is not always easy. I'm not saying that everything's all happy. I'm going to say happy clappy, but happy. Everything's happy. Everyone's fine. Never a problem. Never an issue. That's not true. It's just not true. If you've been in the church as long as I've been around, you know that's just not true. Yeah? Just not true at all. There's ups and downs. There's ins and outs. But we need to check out what happened in Acts. Was that a perfect church? I don't think so. Read the book of Acts. It was ups and downs and ins and outs, comings and goings. But remember these words that Jesus said. What did he say? He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the song we've been singing there today. And we need to keep telling that to ourselves. And that, when it says the gates of hell will not prevail, right, it doesn't mean that we're on the defensive. Good heavens, you know, the enemy's coming at me. No, it's the other way around. We're on the attack. It's the enemy that's on the run. But we give him so much credit that he doesn't have at all. We just give it to him, don't we? And say, there you are, it's yours. I'm just going to read this. This actually is from the Blackburn Diocese. It's their Lent program called God's Story, Your Story. And it's just a Lent program, really. And today, I just happened to open it up, and today is the first Sunday of Lent. And I'll just pick this little bout here. It says, the reading was Acts 2:42, which we just read. It says, in our reading today, we've been given a beautiful picture of the early church community, marked by a shared daily rhythm of life. Every day they continued meeting together, and the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. It suggests spiritual growth and witness were connected to relationships through meeting together and shared prayer. What did they do? They met together, they ate together, they prayed together, they shared together a rhythm of daily life. As we do this, guys, as we do that, it attracts people towards us. Acts 2 reminds us that genuine connection requires presence. Meeting together regularly builds trust, creates space where faith can be encouraged, doubts can be voiced, burdens can be shared, and praying together is central to this shared life. Together, as we pray, it reminds us we're not alone in our struggles or hopes. In daily life, this may be a family prayer at the end of the day, it may be a small group meeting during the week, or even a pause time with a friend to pray in a moment of need. In this way, we invite God into the ordinary, everyday circumstances of our life. In this passage, we read, the Lord added to their number daily. Their shared life was visible witness and actions that speak more loudly than words. When others see relationships marked by care, humility, and joy, they may wonder what sustains such a way of life. By committing to regular fellowship and prayer together, we can show in our communities how our faith is lived out and that God continues to work daily through our ordinary faithfulness. Yeah. So as our community, as we live together, pray together, share together, worship together, it impacts not only ourselves, but outside. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you've brought us into a community, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I'm part of your church, Lord, here in Ormskirk. I thank you that I'm part of your church worldwide. And Lord, I thank you that you are still doing amazing things, and you still want to do amazing things when your church meets together. And I pray for us, Lord, as just a small pimple on the landscape. But Lord, you want to do amazing things through us. You want to do amazing things with us, Lord. I want us, Lord, as a fellowship, Lord, to grow. I want us fellowship as a fellowship, Lord, to see those signs and wonders, to see those amazing things. I want us, Lord, to see the shaking when you shake us, Lord, when you come and have your way. So, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stand upon your word. Stand upon the truth of your word. Live our lives on the truth of your word. And see, Lord, what you can do. It is no secret, the old song says, what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Lord, yeah, you're a God of today. Not what you did 50, 60, probably 70 years ago now, but you're a God of today, Lord. And Lord, we just long for you to have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.